both sides. These shmuzin are not necessarily that much connected to each other, but I thought it was appropriate, and I'm personally margish, you know, being in Eretz Yisrael, being right outside Mei Sharm, being in the Shiva here in Eretz Yisrael, and the chance to learn and teach and daven in Eretz Yisrael, I think it's an opportunity we have to take advantage of, to go ahead and inspire ourselves. Baruben mentioned about davening, 100%, focus on that, increase your davening ability, your focus, concentration, kavana, ma'ilas hatzira. But overall, beside it, there's a lot of things to work on. You know, you walk down around Mei Sharm, or you live in Eretz Yisrael, you see what's going on, how many thousands of people are learning Torah, you know. Every person I visit, you know, they're all Kol people. You know, they might be 55 years old, they're learning Torah, you know, 35, 25, doesn't make any difference, everyone's learning Torah. You know, inspired by that, what it means, what the Chashivas of Torah, the opportunity to absorb it, to imbibe that relative, that perspective of what it means to learn Torah, the Chashivas of Torah, you know, people davening, like I say, you know, the Kedusha exists, you know, Baruch Hashem, at least in this area, this Nius is very special, you know, on a very high level. At least it seems like that, but it's, you know, there's a lot to be inspired by just to live a Torah life and to absorb the hashgafos and the perspectives of the Torah. I think it's an opportune time to focus on it. And the Ramashal, just how important inspiration is, the first marmokam I put on top of the page talks about the chet of the, another time they start fetching and complaining, they don't like the mun, in rechmei mayim, Hashem kosev lechem aklokel, they start kvetching, complaining again. Hashem sent the nechashim asrofim, I guess the poisonous venom, the snakes, I think it is. And a lot of people were wiped out. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chatanu. We sinned, we messed up, we made a mistake. Please help us, they want the tshuva. So what does Hashem tell Moshe? Asir chasorof, v'simos al neis. V'yakon oshuch, v'rol salachai. Put some kind of a picture of a snake up there, make some kind of a snake, put it up there on the pole, and everyone should look at it and stay alive. And Rashi, I didn't put that Rashi, I'm sorry, I forgot to put it down, but Rashi brings down that the idea was that, you know, the Chashem killed out all these people. The idea was when you look at the Noshach and you become strong and healthy and you don't die, then what I think Rashi brings down, that v'chi nochash meimis u'mechaya, what they look at the, what's going on? They look at the snake and all of a sudden, I'm going to stay alive, you don't get, you're going to die. What is the nochash? It doesn't make sense. The idea was the lesson that they wanted, that because Baruch the Moshe wanted to teach Chai Yisrael was that, you know, it's not a nochash, it's the elachet meimis u'mechaya, right? It's Torah mitzvah which is meimis u'mechaya. So looking at the nochash made a person realize that, you know, if I can stay alive by doing this, not because the nochash doing it, you know, it's not the nochash that killed me before. Was some kind of wild plague or animals that in the form of a nachash that killed people? No, it was the chet that did it. Look at the nachash, the tshuva, so it's machaya. It's not the nachash which does anything, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was inspiration they were supposed to receive and the lesson they were supposed to learn from this nachash. As Rashi before said, Hashem was Moshe, let him look at the nachash, they'll stay alive. I asked Moshe, nachash nachoshes, he made this copper nachash, he put it up there. And it happened that all the people that Noshach and Nochash as Ish, someone was bitten by the snake and they were still alive. He bit Nochash and Nochash of Achoy. And they looked at it and they stayed alive. That was the lesson trying to be taught by Moshe Rabbeinu, Rosh Baruch Hu, the focus, the way to do tshuva is to recognize, to be inspired and to look, learn the lesson of Nochash that if I do Torah mitzvahs, I stay alive. If I look up to Hashem, I stay alive. If I don't look at the Nochash, if I'm not doing what Hashem wants, then you die. That's just the basic story, I think. Says Rashi, what's the nachash nechoshes? Onemar of ourselves to nechoshes. Why all of a sudden the copper one? Like, why not? There's a Yalkut, I think, in Yeshua, which explains a little more. That there was no instruction. So first, maybe I should make it silver. No. Gold. No. Maybe nechoshes. Why did they pick nechoshes? Why did they make a copper nachash? El Amar. Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koro Nachash. Hashem called this a Nachash, right? And he told him, make a Nachash, make a snake, but in Hebrew language, it's called Nachash. Vani Asenosh HaNachosh, I'll make a Nachoshes. Why? Lashon Nofel Lashon. What does that mean, right? So I figured, what's going on over here? So Pashat, what it means, it means very simply, it means Lashon Nofel Nafash, Lashon Nofel Lashon, sorry, that it's a very similar type word, right? Nachash, Nechosh, all the same root. Nachash, Nechosh, same idea, right? So, who cares, right? Like, what is this, you know? So it's very nice poetry. That's all it is. It's nice if you're some kind of a, you know, into poetry and you like to be excited and it's not, oh, wow, you want to be wowed by some nice poem, you know? You go to Torah Seminary Elementary School and the principal, the second principal, has some poem they read out loud in the middle of the thing. Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, I don't go for poetry so much. I was never inspired by it. But that's what it sounds like, you know? It's a nice poetry. It sounds the same. It rhymes almost. Nachash, nachosh, it's great. So what's the big deal? So Pshat Rabos, I think Rabbi Salat from Kelm says, the Pshat over here is, I think it's obvious, but Pshat is that it's inspirational. You know, you look at the Nachash, you're supposed to get the lesson, I'm looking at the Nachash, I'm staying alive, because Baruch Hu is teaching me that looking at that the Nachash can't kill me, if I can't stay, can keep me alive. If I do mitzvah, look to Hashem, it's all it's supposed to be an inspirational message to teach a person. So says Rashi, says the Pasuk, says Moshe Rabbeinu, gold is beautiful, silver is beautiful. I can make from all these different types of materials. But if I'm going to make it from copper, they'll become more inspired. They'll walk away. There's a greater chance they'll absorb the lesson because they're in a good mood. So they're in an inspirational mood because they heard a nice poem. They heard something, the Russian that they see, Nachash, Nachash, Nachosh, you know, wow, a copper one, and it makes sense. The same word, it rhymes, poetic, whatever you call it, right? That makes a difference. When a person gets inspired, whether it's through music, whether it's through learning Torah, through Mespilah, through a Nachash, a Nachash, Nachosh, it doesn't make a difference. But that's how a person works about it. That's how the inner makeup of a person is, to go ahead and be inspired. When a person is inspired, his genes, his pores, his midos potential opens up to be changed, and through his hashkafic perspective can change more easily. He can more easily believe and absorb the lesson that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. He is the one that determines if I'm alive, and I do mitzvah determines it, you know? And he's more into it because he heard this nice, you know, these two words, which we, you know, look at the nechash, the choshes. Wow, that's like, come on, who cares? A bunch of babies over here, a bunch of, you know, female, you know, poet people over here. Come on, what difference does it make? I both say it makes a difference, not just for women, not just for kids who are emotional, for you, for all of us, for adult men. They get a little bit inspired. That doesn't mean they walk away, you know, stop dancing because nechash, the choshes. No, but it helps open the pores, open the person's ability to be inspired, to be changed by what he's hearing. That's the most inspiring thing. You sing a little, you have a little musical, you have a good pshat in the marshon, you get inspired, and you think about Kodesh Baruch Hu, wow, you know? You walk down the street and you see people learning Torah, you see Brett Sinsias, whatever it might be. You're also be inspired by it. If you're a little inspired by it, it makes a difference. You'll change yourself, change your hashkafa, change your perspective. That's what happened over here. Moshe looked for every tiny drop. A small drop, but it's not a big deal. The chash and the chosh, not going to go crazy over it. But it means something. It makes a difference. Like I say, it opens the pores. The pores of midos change are more open for change on both sides. The Alka Shimon Rebos, it talks about, it says the Pasuk, Mimona Afar Yaakov, the Pasuk, it doesn't say over here exactly on the top, but the Pasuk is Mimona Afar Yaakov, so Bolok. And this week's, that's this week's Eretz Yisrael Parsha, right? Chukas was the one before us. If it's American parts, you can say either one, that's how it works, right? So Mimon Afi Yaakov, so Balak is talking about how great the Kai Yisrael is. And he says, Mimon Afi Yaakov, who counts the dirt of Yaakov? Says Yaakov, a couple of things, what he's referring to. Miyachol Gimno Scharen Shag Bachur Yisrael, King Shemar, King Shukim, which is an example, different things they're doing. And about the six lines in, he says, another thing, what else they do, which is so gemal, so beautiful, so special, they have so much schar for it. How can you count the offer Yaakov, which is so unbelievable? B'chein, lo veish begodim shal Shabbos. He goes ahead and wears begodim, wears b'day Shabbos, the shalmoed and yantav, v'nichnas u'mis'abek ba'afar. And he goes in and he gets, you know, gets on the floor, he huddles, what's the word, it connects to the dirt, sits on the dirt, beautiful, I guess there are no fancy, beautiful chairs like we have today, v'shmoa l'zokein, to listen to the zokein, to elders speak and teach the Torah, v'shmoa the Torah. Right, look at these wonderful young students, talmid acham, they go ahead, they get dressed up in Shabbos clothing, they put on the Shabbos finery, the yom tov finery, because they want to learn Torah, right? That's what they want to do. Go to the Rebbe, you know, say, how do you do? You don't come with your whatever, I'm not going to go into details, right? With your jeans or your t-shirts, whatever. You come in, dress like a bench, like a Ben Torah, right? Your Ben Torah should dress. Whether it's white or blue, it's not relevant to now. But the Ramai said, you dress nicely when you come to learn Torah, show you chashivas of what you're doing. So these guys, they used to go in, but I guess there were no chairs and it was dirty, whatever else, they got all dirty. But Kushi Yaakov Amar, Yosef, whatever, I guess, guys, but it didn't bother them. They did not go ahead and put it on. I might get a little dirty. I didn't do anything, right? They were fine. Nothing happened. They were to freedom, right? They were happy with that. They're okay with that. So this famous Rashiva Shmuz, Rashiva said, like, what's going on? Bog is trying to find an example of the connection, the commitment that Amir Hacham Bachur Yisrael had to Torah, the appreciation of Torah. So what did he say? I would have said, well, look at, you know, that it's over the generations, but he saw in the future what's going to be. How are we going to go sit and learn Torah in the dirt, in the dust? But talk about it. Look at the Hasbada. Come 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday night, Mishmar, right? You see, Bachum learning, Gevaldik, learning all day long in the morning, afternoon, evening, Mr. Snesesh, for Torah, for Yiddish guy, for everything, and the pogroms, they didn't give it up. Well, that's how you see the goddess of the connection to Torah. Oh, because they sit in the dirt. Like, what's the deal? The greatest potential and the greatest perspective of evidence, I guess that's the word, evidence of someone who's committed and connected to this Machshav Torah, someone who, you know, gives his life and is learning Torah all day long. Isn't that the biggest example? How can both of them talk about that? So Rosh Yeshiva said that Pshat is that when a person learns Torah by smart, then obviously it shows a lot, there's no question about it, you know, but okay, you have to learn, you have to accomplish, you have goals, you're goal-oriented, you have the chiyuv of basmud, you have to learn, okay, it shows tremendous commitment, I want to do what's right, I want to learn Torah, I want to do the mitzvahs, fine. There's no question he's into it, there's no question he's committed to Torah. But the real test is, how does a person see, or what's his perspective, what bothers him, what does not bother him, all the things that surround the Torah, that come with it. Right, a person has to learn Torah, and therefore, whatever he has no money. You know, he has to have spaghetti instead of some better thing for supper. He can't afford the chicken. He goes ahead and has spaghetti every night. You know, it's a lot cheaper, rice, whatever it is. Right? How does he feel about that? You know, the learning Torah itself, I both say, is tremendous. No question. It shows a lot of he's committed to Torah, but the perspective of how he feels, how he sees, how chashuv Torah is in his eyes, is totally on how everything that comes with it, that's around it, how he sees that. Does it bother him a lot? Am I, you know, if someone won the lottery ticket, is going to pick it up and get his multi-million dollar prize, he gets dirty on the way, doesn't care, doesn't bother him, like I'm involved in such a beautiful thing that everything else becomes like beautiful also. It's like, you know, if he sits there, I think Rosh Hashanah mentioned an example, it's like a red badge of courage. It's like a badge of courage. You see, there's dirt on his clothes where he sat when he remembered this Rebbe. What is he? No, it's growling. That shows what I did. That was part of my experience. It's part of what I had to do. So it's special. It means a lot to him. So these Bachur Yisrael that the Yalk is talking about is, you know, they didn't. There was a negativity to it. There was once something is associated with learning Torah, everything that came in the way that came because of that is chashuv in his eyes. It's beautiful. It doesn't bother him. I don't know if it's beautiful, I guess beautiful also, but it's so special, it's just a sign, it's not a negative thing, it, you know, so that's part of our perspective about like this. A person has to train himself, he has to try to focus and appreciate that whatever he has to do to learn Torah, it's not, oh, I have to do this, but it's for good reason. No, it's not a bad thing, it makes it so much easier, so it's not a problem to do it, you know. They don't mind if they live in an old dilapidated house because they have to learn Torah, because that's what I have to do, and it's a beautiful thing. It's not pshat, oh yeah, I have to do it, but I'm doing it for good reason. I'm doing it because that's I want to learn Torah, and you know how chashuv Torah is, I got a gem. So everything which surrounds our Rabbos is also has gem-like qualities. Again, Rabbos, that's what we have to try to inspire ourselves, to recognize that. You know, you see people out there, they're harping in Torah, they have nothing. You see people, they buy apartments, so I have to do it, whatever, but they have to keep the job, you know, but there's nothing out there. There's no pension plans. There's no who knows what all the goshness that Americans are used to, whether it's the cars, whether it's the house, whatever it might be. Living those two bedroom apartments, right? Oh, it's like the shadows, this is what it means. This is part of learning Torah, the chashivus. It's not walking around cracking and crying and complaining all day, but it's because it's connected to Torah, which is chashim in someone's eyes. And then we have the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, the bottom of the page first, the top of the Rashi part. Says, so what happened? V'yar Pinchas. Right, so they have this, so Zimri, right, he was Bol Aramis with the union in front of the Rabim, which was done, and Moshe stood there, Mis'almen Halacha, right, didn't know what to do, I keep fighting, what's Halacha? Bol Aramis, what's Halacha, what do? He just forgot. Dol Kolob B'chia, everyone's crying, what's going on, terrible things happening, what do we do, and how do we stop this? What we do? It was terrible. Chil Hashem, and we said, "Hey, Bochem, everyone was crying. Everyone was—they knew it was terribly wrong. That was not the shayla. But like, what do you do? What's the punishment? You Malchus, you just yell at him. You kill him. What do you do? Uchsiv. So what happens next? Uchsiv. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Mara. What is it? What did he see? What's the Vayar Pinchas? Says the pasuk. So Machokas Amaron. Amarav. Rav says Ra Maisa Vnishka Locha. He saw what happened, and he remembered Halacha. What was Halacha? We'll see in a second. Right? He remembered Halacha, and it wasn't so pashut. They didn't learn Mishnah Berurah that day, but when he sees this, it stimulated his thought, his memory. He remembered Halacha. Amalo. So Pinchas says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Achi Avi Abba, the brother of my father's father, my great-uncle, Lo Tachi Maratani, B'Ritcha Mehashinai. Didn't you teach us when you came back from Harsinai of the Torah? You taught us. I remember. I was there for this year. I didn't come late that day, I was there on time. A boy Ramis, Kanon Pogimbo. I have to kill him. A Kanoi is allowed to kill him. So someone's boy, a Goy, and a Ramis. It's a Kusam, it's a Kusa, Ramis, some say different with Shonas. So it says, Kanon Pogimbo, you have to go ahead and just kill him. That's Halacha. So that's what you told us. Moshe Rabbeinu, let's get on with the show. Come on, what's going on? Omer lo, Karayna d'Igrisa, Is Iyu Lahavi Pravanka. Famous words, famous important line of both. So what does that mean? Karayna d'Igrisa, he who calls the announces the proclamation, I guess, of the king's letter. Iyu, he should be the one to implement the whatever has to be done. So Moshe told him, listen, you're the one that brought Halacha to light. I forgot about it. You go ahead and do it. Okay? That's not why. You're the one who should do it. You have the schus to do it, the opportunity to do it. Go ahead and do it. That's Rav. Let's say Shmuel for a second. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel says, no, that's not what Vayar is talking about. Omar, Ra, Shein Chochma, Bein Tvua, Bein Tvuna, Bein Eis Mega Hashem. He saw, and Rashi says he saw means Nitzkar Pasuk. He made his famous Pasuk, but he forgot it, now he remembered it. Pinchas remembered the Pasuk, Ein Chochma Ein Tvuna Neged Hashem, which means Kalmakam, there's no thinking, there's no Chochma, no analysis. Simple, Kalmakam Shchil Hashem, Ein Cholkin Kavod to the Ravs. You don't give Kavod to the Ravs. Says Rashi, Kalmakam Nitzkar Pasuk, Ein Chochma Ein Tvuna Neged Hashem, don't you don't have to worry about coming to the Rebbe, not necessary. If he heard Pinchas Halach, the Rabbi, therefore Pinchas had the audacity, and he took he went ahead and passed Halach the Rabbi, or him to tell Rishus from Moshe. He didn't wait to ask for Rishus from Moshe. So Yira Rohan, because he was concerned. if I wait and ask Moshe, there's obviously has to be the reason, but there was a good reason over here. There's a Chil Hashem, and if I ask my Rebbe, it'll take another couple seconds, and it'll come out that people see what's happening, they'll learn, they'll be inspired, in a negative way, they'll think, oh, it's okay, nothing wrong over here. So he wanted to make sure that this Chil Hashem is stopped, dead in his tracks, no one should learn the wrong halacha from here, and therefore he passed him right away without asking his Rebbe, what's halacha, what should we do, the whole business. That's the machokas in the Gemara. So Rashiva said, what's going on? Listen, let's analyze this. Moshe bet everyone's crying. They don't do the terrible Chil Hashem. You know Chil Hashem, you know what you say about Chil Hashem? Yehar Vayava, right? That's number four, right? The three biggest Yehar Chil Hashem. Yehar Vayava, terrible, terrible thing Chil Hashem. Especially this one taking place, such a terrible Aveir, such a terrible, disgusting act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah. but no one knows what to do. So everyone's crying away. What do we do? Gol Kuv B'Chiyah. So what happens? So let's go to the first halacha verse. What does Pinchas see? He remembers halacha. What's halacha? Right? He tells Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, he remembers halacha. He tells Moshe he has to be killed. So what does Moshe do? Now at that time, let's stop, take a picture for a second. What happens at that time? So Moshe hears, he doesn't know what halacha is, and Pinchas tells him he has to be killed. So Moshe Rabbeinu is seething, right? He's crying and he's seething, so upset, so angry, and he obviously I want to kill him. This guy, I want to stop the Chil Hashem, right? Just like you see the second case, that you know, you stop as fast as you can. The Chil Hashem taking place. What are you doing, Moshe Rabbeinu? Come on, get on your horse and take your sword and kill him. No, Moshe Rabbeinu stops. I'm not going to kill him. You know why? It's pride of Igrisa, right? He's the one that brought it to light. It's his prerogative. It's his right. Derech Eretz, I'm not sure what it's called. Derech Eretz, the scus he has. I shouldn't take it away from him. He's the one. Now, obviously, Chorah could have taken he could have done it a couple seconds earlier if he would just right away. Here's Avacha. He goes, takes the sword and stabs and kills him. He could have done that. But he wants to do that. I want to get rid of this Chil Hashem. He's not going to do it. He stopped dead in his tracks. There's Hilchus what? I guess for Hilchus Derech Eretz. Is right. That's what Halacha and Shulchan Aruch says. Crying the Igor Sut, you'll have a Pravanka. Let him do the one to do it. So I'm going to allow the Chil Hashem to take place, to keep on progressing, so to speak, keep it happening, and potentially people can be misled and learn the wrong Halacha. No, I'm not going to touch him. I'm fuming. I'm upset. I'm crying. I'm with Kai Yisrael, so I know what to do, and, you know, and now I know what to do, so let me do it. Control, Rabosai, super control. Number one is the first. The other thing, just everything's up here. There's no such thing as I want to take care of it, you know, the end is just find the means. No! What does Hashem want me to do? There's a terrible Hashem taking place. I want to get rid of it. I know Hashem wants to get rid of the Chil Hashem. I can't do it. I can't move. You know why? The Shulchan Aruch, you know, says I can't touch it. You know, it's like one time saw. Brings up, I think, where Moshe Feinstein, I think, one time, I think the story was, he was diving, well, actually, I'm sorry, he was in MTJ over there, and you guys visited the old little, you know, they've met us over there, and the phone, it used to be, before cell phones, there's a phone booth, I think it's still there, I'm not sure, there's a phone booth out in the hallway, right outside the base medish. People called Moshe Feinstein on the phone, that's how it worked, they called him on the phone, and they used to call him out, you know, call him from this, there's a phone call for you, Rebbe, outside in the hallway. Okay, so one day, they come in. There's a phone call for the Rashid Moshe, and they come in, and they tell him, the Rebbe, there's a phone call for you out there. Moshe had finished one esrei, but he was standing, and there was someone in back of him. So he couldn't go. He said, I can't take 3 steps back, because I'm not allowed to take with mom. I guess it was, I'm not getting involved in Halacha, both said, but his mom's in back of him, and maybe there was no sideways, whatever, that's not the point. It's like, the way the story goes, like, you know, he's sitting there waiting, there's a big phone call, a Shiloh, who knows what the Shiloh is, the Esrei Moshe Shiloh. I can't go. There's a glass door. There's a glass invisible door right between me and the guy back of me, so I can't walk back. The world's waiting for me. They ask for Moshe. They don't ask for Moshe. They have a little Shiloh. They ask for big Shiloh. You know, they want to know. Let the guy wait. I can't go, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't go ahead and kill the person, which I want to do, and I want to get rid of Chil Hashem as fast as I can. I'm not doing it. You know why? Because it's not proper. Derech Eretz speaks, and Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, their cherish to give him the opportunity. He's the one who brought the light. Let him do it. That's and number two, you see the self-control he had. You know, I mean, like he was seething with anger and upset and depression and anxiety and crying. Like, come on, go do it. Stop right where you are. What's the lacha? Call up a Moshe. Call up a Shulchan Aruch. Call up your post. Take it out. Find out. What's the control yourself? Take it easy. Don't get overrun by the moment. That's Rav. Shmuel says a little different, right? Shmuel says that Pinchas, he saw the halacha, he remembered that what? He had a different, there was a different child. Not that he knew the halacha, he knew the halacha, but he said, I can't pass in front of my Rebbe. So he remembers the halacha, in chachma, b'chunam, in eitz neged Hashem. And therefore, there's no problem of covered around. Shmuel said, what happened those couple seconds before Vayar? Vayar means you remember the pasuk, said Rashi, right? Remember the halacha? But don't worry about Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaRav, when is Chil Hashem? What happened before that? Again, he was crying, he was angry, he knew the halacha. He knew this guy is supposed to be killed. You know what the problem is? That Rebbe is standing right there. He's the one in charge. Well, what are you? You're a pastor with your Rebbe? What are you, nuts? Crazy. Kavod HaRav, where's your cover for your Rebbe? How can you do such a thing? He's the Gola, he's supposed to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, but don't you think Moshe Rabbeinu would be Mochel? Maybe Mochel, you know, if Chil Hashem, I don't know, he wasn't Mochel yet, whatever, he can't do it, he's frozen. He can't do a thing, he can't kill him. But the Halacha is supposed to kill him. Yeah, but it's all Kavod HaRav. Kavod HaRav is Docha, you can't go and kill someone. If you do that, you have to you take away from the Kavod of the Rebbe, that stops it, that's the Halacha. Again, I both say, it's just the same idea. we don't get, we can be a kanoi if we're on the madrega. But even kanam has to cool down, calm down, take it easy, and analyze what is halacha. There might be one little technical thing, but Rabbi, I can't do. I want to teach Torah. I want to make our building yeshiva. I want to do this, but you know, but this will happen. This will cause someone to cover it up, or you know, or you know, it's it wasn't halacha, wasn't whatever, right? You can't do it. That's about everything is exactly a halacha, has to be a seichel. That's our mission. That's our purpose to analyze. To get excited, we're supposed to get excited, but to be controlled and always tempered by the intellect. The intellect has to control the emotions. And when you get all excited, and you see there's a reason to get excited, Chil Hashem, the Yahweh Bayav, the reason to get excited, you have to take it easy and be careful. Get excited is fine, but it has to be controlled and tempered and guided by the intellectual halacha, the Torah, the Mishabur, the Shulchan Aruch, which says you can't do it, either because, you know, he has to go ahead, you'll have a Ravanka, he's the one that should be the one to implement it, or because Kavarad, I can't do it. So Hashem is the biggest up here, one of the big four. 6 3 plus one, can't do it. Notice about Sarosis, again, so I'm just sharing all these shmuzim with you because I think it's important. We have an opportunity. We're in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Yerushalayim, we're right off Meir Shorim. There's so many people, so much to be inspired with. You walk down the streets, and I say, you walk, you see what's going on. People running Torah, people dressed properly, people running the Min Kamar with the shuls, but the medicine packed. Doesn't mean everyone's a tzaddik, I'm not saying that, but you know, there's a lot of wonderful things you can appreciate. And you know, sometimes things come with a hardship or with not such a comfortable thing, you know, the chairs are uncomfortable, whatever, right? You know, but come on, what are you here for in Torah? Who cares about the chairs? Like, I don't want to hurt myself, fall down. I said, you should not admit to do that, but you know, everything that comes with a appreciation, it enhances our appreciation of Torah, what Torah means, how precious Torah is. How important it is to me to be most message for Torah, how beautiful it is, and whatever comes with it is beautiful also. And everything has to be, I want to be medakin halacha and do everything what the Mishabur says, not just the emotional, you know, personally excited about it and do whatever has to be done. No, I'll do everything shulchan aruch, and to be inspired, right, by the nechash and nechosh, to be inspired by that inspirational opportunity, a dakin, something, it's not a big deal. But it's something to enable us to be inspired to greater appreciation of those Baruch Hu, Torah, and Mitzvahs, and kind of onus, whatever it might be, go for it, both sides.